Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. I am hoping that you are going to receive the kingdom of God. Let me proclaim to you the gospel here from Mark chapter 1. The Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the desert, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days. He was tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and angels ministered to him. After John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. He said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We're familiar with that saying, famous last words, but what about first words? Can first words be important? Absolutely. In the gospel, they're programmatic, they're important, they're serious, and there's something that we need to listen to. For example, what about these first words? We always remember them. That's one small step for man, that's one giant leap for mankind. Those were the first words of Neil Armstrong on the moon. And we remember them because first words can be important. Now, in the gospel, the first words of Jesus are very, very important. Jesus comes into Galilee after his time in the desert, and he has this urgent, breathless, serious message. And the gospel writer is opening with this scene, and he wants everybody to underline it, to italicize it, to bold it, and to realize just how important this is. And what is it that Jesus says? What are his first words? Most people don't even know the first words in the gospel. What are his first words? The kingdom of God is at hand. First of all, he's saying something very important. He said the time is fulfilled, the kingdom is at hand. In other words, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. So as you're watching this right now, I want you to know that this is an acceptable time for you to receive this kingdom. Today, right now, as you're sitting there watching, it is your time. The word in the Greek is it's your kairos moment. It's the time for you. And then Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, what in the world was the kingdom of God? What did this mean? Well, I remember when I studied in Israel, I went to all kinds of different places, and one of the places that I went to was called the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is south of Jerusalem, southeast of Jerusalem, south of Jericho. It's way down there. And what happens is the Jordan River goes through the Sea of Galilee, and it goes all the way down to the Dead Sea. Well, right around at the Dead Sea, they had a very interesting place, a place where the Essenes were. The Essenes were a group of religious people at the time of Jesus, and this is where the Dead Sea Scrolls came from, this group called the Essenes. And they believed in the eschatological, that's a big theological word that means the end times. They believed that the end times were near, that they had come, that the time had come, and that the Messiah was about to come and usher in this golden age, this new era where God would rule, and this would be a kingdom of peace. So they believed that the kingdom of God was at hand. So there was a great anticipation in the air. The Dead Sea Scrolls were written all about this Messiah, the Son of Light that would come, and they're all ready for the Messiah to come and who would usher in this big age of righteousness. And the Jews were looking for this too. The Essenes, of course, were Jews, but they were a sect of the Jewish people. The Jews were looking, waiting for this political Messiah who would come with great force, who would come with great power and usher in this age, who would overtake the Romans and any other oppressors of Israel, who would come with great political power, as I said, and usher in the kingdom of God. So when Jesus said that the kingdom is at hand, all kinds of people were listening. And they were thinking, well, wait a minute. You know, we're expecting the Messiah, but he's going to come with power. We're expecting the Messiah, but he's going to come with great force. And here's this son of a carpenter. What in the world is he talking about? The kingdom of God is at hand. Well, it's interesting that the kingdom isn't so much something political. Another word to define kingdom would be the dominion of God is at hand, or the rule of God is at hand. So it's not something so much that was going to come politically, this is where people were confused, as something that would come in a person's heart. Remember what Jesus taught later. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's in your midst. Another time, the Pharisees and the religious leaders were getting on Jesus about a point. He said, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom before you. And what was he talking about? It's a place, not so much a place as a state of being. The kingdom is a kingdom of the heart, of a new birth, of coming to know God in a personal way. Yes, it will be political one day when Jesus comes again in glory and takes over all the kingdoms of the world. But right now, God's kingdom, his rule, his reign, his dominion has to do with our hearts. And that's exactly why Jesus came. That's why he said, repent and believe in the good news. What he was saying is, change, open your heart to this. God's dominion is for you. God's personal presence is for you. God's saving power is for you. And this kingdom will revolutionize your heart. Remember when Jesus died, something interesting happened in the temple. Right at the moment of his death, separating the Holy of Holies, this is the most sacred part of the Jewish temple, and then the wider temple of Israel, there was a veil that separated the two portions. And right at Jesus' death, there was this cosmic rip. The veil opened up. And it's interesting, in the temple, they had a sign there forbidding Gentiles to go anywhere near the court of Israel. There was a court of the Gentiles, the court of Israel, then the Holy of Holies. They couldn't even go into the court of Israel. In fact, the sign said that they were forbidden by death, by penalty of death, to enter into the court of Israel. And there was a sign there that was written in Greek and in Latin about this. So when that temple was torn, what was that saying? It was saying that now entrance into the Holy of Holies is available not just for the Jewish people, but for all people. All people now have access to the Holy of Holies. And that's what the kingdom of God is all about entering into the Holy of Holies, the place where God dwells, the very presence of God. Through Jesus Christ, God is now accessible and available to all people, Gentile, Jewish, other denominations, other religions. All people now can perceive and have a relationship with God through the kingdom of God. Now, where did Jesus get all this? Of course, he was divine, but he had to encounter this in his humanity of himself. He was driven into the desert by the Holy Spirit right before this. He spent 40 days in the desert. And what was he doing in the desert? He was meditating. He was encountering. He was having a relationship with God so that he could proclaim this. As soon as he comes out of the desert, he comes out of the desert proclaiming the kingdom is now at hand. And I mean, he's urgent about this. It's serious. He has this driven passion. Well, I've been to the desert in Israel. I told you I was down by the Dead Sea. There's desert all around there. There's the desert by Jericho. There's Israel has a lot of desert land. And it's interesting, in the desert, I noticed something. There's no people there. There's no cell towers, no satellite dishes, no cables, no TV hookups, no traffic. There's very few distractions, very slow pace. There is nothing there in the desert. Jesus spent 40 days there, and he was communing, having experiences of the Spirit, being tempted by the devil, but connecting with God, realizing and encountering the kingdom of God. That's why when he came out of the desert, he came out, he was breathless. He said, the kingdom's at hand, now's the time. You can encounter it too. And I want all my viewers to encounter the fullness of the kingdom, to have a rebirth in your heart, and to know the sovereignty, the dominion, the rule of God in the depths of your being. I love what Paul the Apostle said about the kingdom. He said, the kingdom's not a matter of eating or drinking. It's a matter of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I'll talk more about that in just a minute. Back in the 200s, 300s, the 3rd century or so, people who hungered for God were driven into the desert. I'm talking about people like Anthony, Jerome, Gregory, Basil, and Benedict, Romuald, you know, the founders of monasticism. People went into the desert because they wanted to be alone. They wanted to avoid all the temptations, and they wanted to realize what this kingdom of God was all about. They founded monasticism, people dedicated to prayer, people dedicated to searching for God, and they wanted to experience God in all of his fullness. And what they discovered when they went to the desert is that God is available, and that God is nearer to us than we are to ourselves, that we can have encounters with God in our heart, that you don't have to be any specific race or religion, that God is for all people. And it's interesting, they were driven into the desert. Just like Jesus was by the Holy Spirit, they were pushed, they were driven. They had hunger, they had thirst for God. They didn't let anything stand in the way of their encountering God. They even went into the desert where there was nothing because they wanted God in a deep, personal way. And I wanted to tell you, let your thirst drive you. Let your hunger drive you. That's why you're watching this program. You're hungry for more. You're thirsting for more. You want this kingdom of God. You want more depth. Well, I found out Jesus said, blessed are they who hunger. Blessed are they who thirst. Why? Because hungry people look for food, and thirsty people look for drink. You have to let your spiritual life drive you. Many people are driven by the desire for money or the desire for food. You know, food will bring you to the refrigerator if you're hungry. Desire for fame or fortune. But let your spirit drive you. That's what drove Jesus into the desert. Let your hunger and thirst for God drive you. It's blessed when you're hungry, blessed when you thirst. I remember I saw a commercial one time. It was for Sprite soft drinks. And in the commercial, it showed a basketball player. You know, he's driving down the court as fast as he can. And he's going down there, and it's right at the last second. He jumps up, slam dunks the ball. They win the game in the last second. He's sweating profusely, and he goes over to the sidelines. Everybody congratulates him. He sits down. And he takes a Sprite soft drink and he guzzles it down underneath the caption, obey your thirst. And I really like that, because if you obey your thirst, it will drive you, it will push you, it will motivate you, you will have purpose toward God. And that's what I really want to say to you. The kingdom of God is at hand. Let it drive you to a deeper relationship with God. Now is your time. Now is the time for rebirth for you. I want you to experience rebirth. You're hearing my preaching about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God isn't eating or drinking, but it's righteousness with God. It's being right with God, peace with God, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can revolutionize your life. The dominion of God, the rule of God, the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit within you. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is within you as well as in your midst. So I want to talk to you about some things that I've written, actually booklets. One of them is called Receive Rebirth. I want you to be born again. I want you to come to a new birth. But I want to tell you that I don't think rebirth is just praying a prayer like a lot of people think. It's more than that. You can pray a prayer and come to rebirth, but the rebirth that Jesus was talking about when he talked to Nicodemus, unless you're born again of the Spirit and the water, you can't see the kingdom of God, he said, or enter the kingdom of God. So it's this spirit experience that I want you to have. I wrote a booklet called Experience Rebirth. This is available on my website. You can download it free of charge. Also, a booklet, Receive a Revolution about the Holy Spirit. And another booklet, Let Jesus In. And these booklets, I believe, will really touch you. In the booklet, I talk about how Jesus is the source of abundant life, that he came to baptize us in the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I talk about the rebirth as being a new holiness, personal change, inner conversion, a new power that comes upon you, a new approach to life. I'll talk about that more in the program. And then I talk about how to be born again, how to experience rebirth. I know you're going to want this. Go to my website, fathercedric.org. These are free downloads for you. And then I want to interest you in my book, Thy Kingdom Come. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Remember, those were the first words out of Jesus' mouth. The kingdom of God is at hand. My book, Thy Kingdom Come, will explain the kingdom to you. We pray for it in the Our Father, Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done. It will explain the kingdom. And there is a chapter on peace in that book that will so inspire you, so touch your heart. I believe that God's kingdom will come to you. So go to fathercedric.org, call that number, and I believe that God will touch you and help you. The kingdom of God is at hand. And I think that that form takes many different forms for many different people. I was talking to a man north of Houston, and I was preaching a mission up there, and it's a place called Plantersville. And he gave me a book, and the book was about alcoholism. And he admitted in the book that he had become an alcoholic, and he had all kinds of different issues in his life. Finally, he humbled himself, took the first step, admitted that he was an alcoholic, and began going to AA meetings. He said it was a very much a desert time for him. But remember, in the desert, Jesus encountered God. In the desert, Israel encountered God. So sometimes if you're going through a desert, that can be a good place, because the desert is a place not only of dryness, but it's a place where you can have manifestations of God's presence. So I always preach, you know, if you're suffering, going through a bottoming out or a hard time, a desert time, that can be a time of grace. So anyway, he was going through a desert time and he felt far from God, and it was a place of dryness for him. He was going to the meetings, to the AA meetings, trying to recover. And he would see people and they seemed so happy, and they all seemed like, you know, they were all into recovery. And he thought to himself, you know, they're talking about God, but I don't feel God. I don't sense God at all in my life. You know, I'm trying to recover here and I'm believing that there's a higher power, but it doesn't seem like anything's happening. He thought life was a chore, and he was wondering, you know, what's ever going to happen to him. Well, finally, after weeks of being in AA and going to these different meetings, one day he was driving to a breakfast meeting, and as he got out of the car, he heard birds chirping, and it startled him. And he said, you know, he used to love to hear the birds chirp, but he was so into the stress of his life and the different difficulties of his life and his drinking and everything else, he hadn't heard the birds chirp in years. And when he heard those birds chirp, when he became aware, when he noticed it, he said, that's when he realized that God was working in his life. And he's come into full recovery. He's stopped drinking. The kingdom of God is at hand. You see, he's going through a conversion. He's on the road to recovery. See, the kingdom that Jesus offers isn't so much a political domain as it is a dominion of the heart, a healing of the heart, change of the heart. I know that that happened for me when I was a young man, and I was going through an emptiness in a relationship with a woman. I had just broken up, and we had broken up, and there was a lot of pain and a lot of hurt and a lot of emptiness. And that's when I started to thirst, and I was driven to the desert, and I began to seek God, and that's when I was touched by the Holy Spirit, crying out, I believe, now's my time. And the Holy Spirit touched me, revolutionized me, totally changed me in many different ways. How about when I talk about rebirth, primarily it has to do with your relationship with God, but it also has to do with your approach to life. I'm a type A personality. I'm always in a hurry. I always want to get there, but I love peace. So it's like this great conflict going on in me. It's like there's part of me that's like all bent out of shape all the time, always in a hurry, always having conflict. And there's another part of me that says, oh, I long for peace. And I heard a song on the radio one time that I really like. I think it's kingdom oriented. It's by a rock group called the Eagles. I know you've heard of them. And the song is called Take It Easy. And it goes like this, some of the words of the song. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. You don't even have to try to understand. And that's what we do in life. We try to figure everything out. We let the sound of our own wheels drive us crazy. We're always in a hurry. That's not the kingdom. That's not kingdom living. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are laboring and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Learn from me because I'm meek and gentle of heart. He has a gentle heart, so you just got to relax. I remember I was listening to a song by Sheryl Crow, and it was called Soak Up the Sun. And in the song, she sings, I'm going to soak up the sun. I'm going to tell everyone to lighten up. And it's not having what you want. It's wanting what you've got. Oh, I love that because we all want this and want that. And, you know, can't we just soak up the sun? Soak up the kingdom. Soak up the grace. Relax. Forget all the wants. Be content with what you have. That's what John the Baptist preached. He said, be content with what you had. Paul the Apostle said, I've learned the secret of being content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Contentment is part of the kingdom, receiving the kingdom of God. I didn't have any of this before I was touched by the Holy Spirit. I was always bent out of shape, anxious, fearful, nervous. But when the Spirit comes, oh, it's like this syrupy peace. That's why I said before in my book, Thy Kingdom Come, I have a chapter on peace that will touch your heart really greatly. And I don't talk about peace as being the absence of turmoil and problems, but it's tranquility right in the midst of the storm. Whenever I'm going through things, and I go through a lot of different difficulties and problems, you know what I say? I have this saying now that I really love. This too shall pass. That has so helped me. Whenever you're going through something, instead of just going, ah, and being all upset, bent out of shape, say that. This too shall pass. And it's interesting. It will pass. Even the hard things of life, it'll pass. And then you go on to the next thing. Then you encounter the next thing. And I've learned that, you know what? Life isn't worth getting all bent out of shape about it. I love what it says in the AA program. I don't know if you've ever seen these bumper stickers. Easy does it. Jesus taught one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. Take it one day at a time. See, this is kingdom living. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. God's presence, God's dominion, God's power that will revolutionize your life. You will have a deep, intimate relationship with God, and then your whole new approach to life will change. What about nature? I am such a connoisseur of nature. I love going to the Grand Canyon. I love going to the national parks. I love seeing glaciers. I love seeing rainbows. I remember I went to Hawaii one time. There were rainbows everywhere. One time, I remember I was standing in my driveway in Houston, Texas, and I looked up in the sky and there was a rainbow, and it struck me so powerfully, and I'll tell you why. It was the day that I got on national TV. And there's this rainbow. And you know what it was? It was God telling me, I believe. You know, most people just see a rainbow, but it was God speaking to me about his promise. And his promise about television was fulfilled for me that day. And remember, the rainbow is the symbol of promise to Noah. I will never destroy the world again with a flood. And so God's kingdom is at hand. You just have to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. I remember one time, you know, I told you I'm a type A personality and kind of all bent out of shape and always in a hurry, you know, and that causes a lot of stress in your life. Try leaving earlier, for example. That'll really help you. But I remember I got a speeding ticket one time. A policeman pulled me over. I was going to play golf. I was in a hurry. He pulls me over and he comes in the window and he goes, you were speeding. Why were you speeding? And I thought, hey, truth is the best policy. Tell him the truth. Maybe he'll let me off. I said, officer, I was going to play golf and I just wanted to get there. He goes, all right, thanks for telling me, but I got to give you a ticket anyway. So gives me this ticket, and I'll never forget what he said. He hands the ticket to me and he goes, sir, from now on, slow down. Talk about the kingdom of God. Slow down. Take it easy. Relax. One thing I like to do on my missions, my parish missions, I have everybody sit up straight. Maybe you can do that at home right now as you're watching. Take a deep breath. Let it out. And say, this too shall pass. Take it easy. One day at a time. Oh, the kingdom of God is at hand. And it's all by God's gift. It's all by grace. I want you to receive this. I want you to be reborn. I want you to live in a new way. I remember one time I went to a Jubilee celebration of four of our priests. It was their golden Jubilee, 50 years of priests. Each one of them stood up and they talked about how long they've been ordained and the people that they met and the accomplishments that they had. They gave thanks to God, and each one took about 20 minutes. And then the last one was a revered figure in our community. He was the head of the community. He founded our seminary, a very learned man. I've heard him speak before. He went pretty long. I'm thinking to myself, oh no, this is going to be really long. The other guys went 20 minutes. Well, he stands up, and this is what he said, and I'll never forget it. Quoting the words of St. Teresa, he said, all is grace. And he sat down. He summed up his whole life with those words, grace. And that's what I want to tell you. The kingdom of God is at hand. Because of God's grace, we are saved by grace. We are saved by the gift of God. And I want you to receive that now. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the time is fulfilled. Now is the time. It's the Kairos time. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. Believe that God wants to manifest his presence in your heart in a deep new way, and believe that you can have a new approach to life, not get all bent out of shape. Take it easy and be at peace. The kingdom of God is at hand. Believe the good news, and may you be revolutionized and reborn by the Spirit of God. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizzegna. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.